GiantKiller.co and the By George Podcasting Network present the By George Podcast with Brian Lawrence and Chris Jones, the original George Mason basketball podcast.
They're on their feet. Here, heck out! Oh! Off the top of the backboard, no! Loose!
Welcome to Homecoming Week.
Hashtag MasonHC all week long. Make sure to include that in all your social media posts.
Hashtag Hoco.
Jonesy, are you coming to town?
I am coming to town.
So are you homecoming?
I am coming home.
And are we going to have some home cooking at our tailgate?
Both metaphorically and literally we will. So home cooking in the sense that we'll be playing a home game at EBA, but also the Giant Killer tent will have a bunch of like carne asada, fried chicken. What else is on the menu?
Taquitos. We'll have some rice and beans. The boys at By George will be coming with some candy, some snacks, and some PBRs.
For those 21 and older.
Yep. So make sure you come on out. We have 8 spots, tents. The way to find us is we'll have a flag pole out, and the American flag will be on the top, our Mason flag on the bottom.
That in that order. Let's go.
And it'll be really easy to spot us. Come hang out with us. But let's talk a little bit. The last couple years we've hosted, and both years were pretty lit.
Right. And it's like, last year it rained, but last year was also a ton of fun. Is it a little bit disappointing that it's going to be raining again? Sure. And the fact that it's going to be like 40 degrees and windy. Okay, well, whatever. We will make the best of the situation. I know that Mother Nature's literally trying to rain on our parade, but I just think as long as we have tents and jackets, we're fine. And, alcohol, not for us, but other people.
Yeah, so, have people heard of umbrellas?
Hopefully they've existed for like 150 years. So use it and just have fun. So I don't want to hear people complaining about weather. We will make the best of it. So, and as long as people come into Eagle Bank like ready to go, ready to scream, ready to cheer. That's all that matters.
And there's no better way to do that than to fill up on, 3 or 4 Bud Lights and head in there ready to cheer your butt off.
I think the official sponsor now is Miller.
Good Miller time. Yeah. And it's not just our tailgate. They do have inside tailgate. I believe it's in Sub 1.
Dewberry, go to the website. You'll find it.
Yeah, so there is inside tailgates. A guy posted a picture from back in the day when he was in college. And he brought a
moving truck.
A moving truck, yeah. And then partied inside the moving truck. There's ways to improvise. So if you're someone that's like, oh, it's gonna be cold, it's gonna be rainy,
layer up.
All we have to say to you is step up. Okay? Get out there. I'm pretty excited. We've had a good time. Go check our Instagram. We took pictures from previous times of students having a blast. Get prepared for that again. On the agenda today, though, Jones, is something special.
Very special. Very special guest.
What's coming up next?
Well, we are going to sit down and talk with the Will Thomas, my favorite Mason basketball player of all time.
And why is he your favorite player?
He was just like the most consistent guy. Like, he had a double-double. I felt like you could pencil him in every game for 16 and 12, and he just made it work, and he was a winner. I mean, think about it. He went to the Final Four his sophomore year. The next year, he was like a minute and a half away from getting back to the tournament, and then his senior year, he actually went back to the tournament. So he's one of the rare Patriots that actually made the tournament twice during his tenure. So, he's just a winner, and he's like top 10 in a ton of stats, like top 7 or 8 in points and top 3 in rebounds. He's played a ton of games, logged a ton of minutes. So,
and spoiler alert, we asked him, what game he most regrets or wishes he could have back. And you'd think it may be Florida, maybe a different game. You'll want to hear his answer. It will resonate with every single fan. And one thing we were kind of joking about, Jones, as you know, the team now has a practice facility and everything. You were joking about, you know, watching them play at different spots on campus back when you went.
Yeah, it's like sort of how like Rocky used to practice. Like he would do all like the kind of like the Ross, like he'd beat up, you know, chunks of meat and run with logs on them. Like they didn't have the newfangled technology. Like our players were like, you know, running through the mud and practicing on outdoor courts, and that old the PE building was 150 degrees, and you know, it wasn't this like luxurious, you know, air-conditioned rack facility with the high-end whatever and all that. It was just, you know, they did it raw and they were winning. So I mean, I'm not saying that it correlates in any way, but it was just kind of fun to see, you know, a guy that you know, didn't have all the perks of the modern day campus, sort of, he made it work. So
we'll get to Will Thomas later. Then of course we'll talk Duquesne. But before we leave this little segment, Jones, you're coming home. I want you to talk a little bit about how campus was when you were on campus and how it's changed to this day.
Okay. You kind of surprised me with that one. I mean, back in my day, we had like Chow Hall was massive. Like that was probably the best place to eat on campus, unless you went to like the JC and you know, had some La Pat or something like that. But you know, it or if you went to the top floor George's, I'm not sure if that's still there, but yeah, but you know, food options were limited. The campus itself, there was a lot more, you know, trees and forests, so you kind of would take shortcuts to get to Fenwick or something. You'd go through this like nubby dirt road and all that, and then there was like an actual trailer park on campus. So things have changed, and now they just have like convenience stores now, and
did kids live in dorms that? Did kids live in that trailer park? Was that student housing, or was that like your local Fairfax trash?
Sure. So it may have looked trashy, right? I mean, a trailer park on campus, it never screams like we're successful. But the actual trailers themselves, they were actually spacious, and you kind of wanted one, with the exception of the fact that you're like kind of buried in the back of campus, and like everyone else was like living towards the park, you know, Liberty, Potomac Heights, like that's where you wanted to live. But they were nice. The trailers were nice. I mean, I can't really hate on them.
Did you ever rage in them?
Sort of. Yeah. I mean, student apartments are actually kind of lit too. I mean, they were nubby, but they had their own like little culture there. Like the people that lived in the student apartments loved the student apartments. Everyone that came to visit immediately wanted to get the hell out of the student apartments.
you had to enjoy it if you lived in it, essentially. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And my time obviously was a little bit different. I went to Nova first for 2 years, then went to Mason for the second 2 years. So, you know, I lived off campus actually with Chris, which is how we kind of formed our relationship. He got me into George Mason basketball. You know, the Final Four run got me into it. I grew up in Fairfax, lived in Fairfax, so obviously I was a follower. But, you know, I wasn't really a true Mason basketball fan until I met Chris. So it's awesome that you're coming home, that we're going to see a game in Fairfax together. Super excited about that. And I'm also super excited to give you guys what you've been waiting for, the Will Thomas interview.
Enjoy.
And the moment you've all been waiting for, the reason you're probably listening to this episode of By George, is the one and only Will Thomas. Will Thomas, say what's up to all your fans.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm here.
So we had to get you on the show. Why? Because it's homecoming week, and obviously you won't be coming home on Saturday, but we want to get, you know, some of your hot takes, maybe, you know, your favorite homecoming memory, or just kind of what Mason means to you.
Mason means everything to me. It was the way I played college basketball. It was a great opportunity that Coach L presented me, and I took full advantage of it. It was a It was a fun experience. I think everybody should experience college and all the things it has to offer.
So, Will, this is Chris. Let me first start out by saying you're like my absolute favorite player ever in Mason history. And I was there actually right when you were there, so from 04 to 08. So I was there for, you know, every year of it. So let me just start off by saying, you know, you were a double-double machine. You were just a great player to watch off on the court. So, but what have you been up to lately? Like, I know that you when you left college, you went to the Belgian League. I think, you know, you won MVP while you were there. Did you want to just get into sort of, you know, life after Mason?
Well, I'm in my 11th season professionally.
Wow.
That's great. I started off in Belgium. My first 3 years was in Belgium. I played for one team for the first 2 years, and then I moved to a third team. I mean, the third year.
While you were in Belgium, did I see you like on a billboard? Like, was that right? Like, did you win an MVP or something while you were there? Or
yes, my second year in Belgium, I won the MVP of the league.
Wow.
From there, from Belgium, I went to Republic of Georgia for 1 year. 1 year in Turkey, 1 year in Italy. I went 2 years in a city in Spain called Malaga. And then the last 3 seasons, I've been in Valencia, Spain.
You got to hook us with some of those flyer miles.
Oh, I don't have no flyer miles. You're going to have to ask the team about that.
And can you talk just about how your game has kind of changed, you know, from the American game to overseas? Did you have to add anything to your game? Have you found yourself stepping outside and shooting more jumpers? What's the difference?
I think I've expanded to the three-point line. That happened gradually. It didn't happen as quickly as I wanted to, but it happened. Over here, I think the referees make you go slower, because if you make a move too fast, they'll call travel on you. So I had to learn how to slow down and do different footwork to, I guess, to help the refs out so they wouldn't call travel on me. And I mean, that it's a hard adjustment, but it could be made.
It was kind of crazy because I watched plenty of you in college. You know, you were predominantly just like a post guy. You know, you can do a hook shot and play with your back against the basket. But then we actually saw you at Kenner League, you know, at Georgetown when they played over the summer. And you showed up like a few years later and you were like popping threes. And I was like, what? Like, where did this come from? Like, and it was like a nice shot. Like, it was just something that I never thought I'd see from you, and it was like a whole new facet to your game.
And to build on that, you know, we definitely have a lot of kids listening to our podcast, students, players. How many hours did you have to put hours into the gym to improve your shot?
Of course, during the off season and during the season, you have to put in countless hours. As I've gotten older, I've learned to work smarter, not so much harder, like trying to stay in the gym for 2 hours and shoot shots. It's just more figuring out how the offense of the team works and where I will get most of my shots and work on that area so I can shoot a high percentage during the game.
And so talk to us a little bit about you know, your favorite place you've played so far. It sounds like you've done a lot of traveling. Is there a place that, you know, will always hold something special in your heart?
Malaga, Spain. It was just a great city. The organization was great. Just everything about it. My family loved it. I just can't speak more highly about them than
words. Did you win a championship there? Was that where you won the championship?
No, I won the championship in Valencia.
Valencia, okay.
And very so cool. You mentioned family. Chris is married. I just had a child, my first. You're a family man?
Yes, I have. I'm married with 2 sons.
Wow. That must be so, I mean, carrying, you know, playing a professional sport, traveling all over the world, and then also having a family, it's got to be a lot.
Yeah, it is. It's very hard, and everybody has to sacrifice. Even like my sisters and my mother and father, they have to sacrifice too with me being away from home for 10 months out of the year. And I mean, everybody's doing well with it, and it's, I know my career is coming to an end.
And so how often are you coming home? You said 2 months. Are you coming home, you know, on breaks in the meantime, or are you really gone for 10 months?
I'm really gone for 10 months. I'm home from the beginning of June to the middle of August.
And his home, is that in or around the D.C. area?
Yes, that's Maryland. No, I don't live in Baltimore anymore. I live in Waldorf.
Okay. So next time you come into town, we have got to have a face-to-face interview with you. It sounds like it's the summertime.
Yes.
You know, we'll take you out to lunch or something.
But let's not even dwell on sort of what's going on right now. I want to kind of take a dip in the past. So let's go all the way back to 2003, 2004, when Coach L arrives to your home in Maryland. What was that pitch like? What was that recruiting pitch that he gave you guys, back in the day to get you to come to Mason? Like, do you remember that day when he came, or?
I do kind of remember it. I think it was kind of he pitched like it was a family atmosphere, like really convincing my parents that if I go to George Mason, that I will be taken care of. I will be treated like his son. So I think my parents felt very comfortable with that. And I also felt comfortable with it. They only were an hour away. So if anything happened, I could get home or they could come down to Mason. And it was just the perfect situation.
And so with that family kind of vibe, I know that that entire Final Four starting squad, they're all from Maryland, right?
Yes.
Was there any type of like camaraderie there? Did you guys know each other before committing to Mason, or did that help in any way?
Maybe those guys, like Lamar, Fathering, maybe John Vaughn, because they kind of from that PG County area.
Yeah,
I didn't know Jai before I came to Mason, but I think we kind of play for the same AAU teams, and the rest of the guys is just, I know, I just met them when I got there.
Mm. Now, I think I remember hearing or reading this stat one time, but dating back to high school, are you 4-0 all time versus Rudy Gay? Is that correct?
7-0.
Seven?
What?
Oh, I no, love that stat. But
when we beat UConn, it make it 8-0.
Wow.
Is that, do you ever like keeping, did you keep in contact with him, or was that relationship dead after that?
No,
that Elite Eight game.
We didn't really have a relationship. So, I mean, we knew each other, had mutual respect, but it wasn't like a friendship off the court or anything.
Right.
I can't believe he's still playing in the league and playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, some people fit.
Yeah, more power to him.
Yeah.
But now, just to speak, you're actually one of the few rare Patriots that actually get to you played in the tournament twice during your tenure at Mason.
Mm-hmm.
What was that feeling like, getting back to the tournament after the Final Four run? Did you feel as if, like, that team had the capability to actually make its own run that year? I think you were third in the CAA that year, but you came on strong late. You beat like William & Mary in that championship game in the CAA, and then obviously ran into Notre Dame. Was there sort of the thought that you guys could maybe do something similar? You know, did you have the right players in place to do that?
I think we did. When we went to the Final Four in 2006, we were familiar with the teams we were going up against. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't something, it was like we wasn't facing a new team. We faced Michigan State the year before. Mm-hmm. I think the 2 years before that, they played Carolina. And we played Wichita State earlier that season. And then going into that, my senior year where we played the tournament, we really didn't know Notre Dame like we did in that past tournament in 2006. I mean, we had a good team, but Notre Dame was just better than us that day.
Now, if you could go back and play a game over again that you'd like to have back? You know, I don't know, maybe if the obvious answer would be, you know, the Florida game in the Final Four, mm-hmm. or was it like the CAA championship the next year versus VCU?
Yeah.
Or maybe that Notre Dame game. Was there a game that you ever were like, damn, I wish I can go back and play that one over?
Probably the VCU one. It was because that was only 2 minutes we gave them the game.
Eric Maynard.
Yes.
Another NBA guy.
Yeah.
Right.
You guys actually went, you know, played some decent talent. Your time at Mason, not all Patriots can say the same. Who was the best player that you faced?
I would say Mike Beasley.
Oh yeah. The
he's super talented, but he just hasn't worked out in the NBA.
Yeah, Chris had like a weird love affair for him.
He was really good. Like in college, yeah, he was unreal. I mean, I was for sure he was going to be better than Durant. And obviously
that's what everybody thought.
But when we beat Michael Beasley, and you know, I thought that year, I think we started 6-1. I think we lost to Villanova after that game, but
right.
It was a strong start. I just thought that, you know, we had some firepower that year, but, Do you still keep in contact with any of the other players from, you know, any of your previous teams or even like some of the younger guys that may have come, you know, just after you?
Well, we actually have a Final Four team chat on WhatsApp. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's like all of us in one chat and everybody be talking. I don't talk as much on it, but everybody just be talking about NBA, whatever. And then following John Vaughn and Daryl Monroe, we have our own chat, like iMessage, and we just talk trash to each other all day. I still work out with Brian Allen during the summer.
Where's the connection there?
It was in the Kenner League. We played together in the Kenner League, and then one of the guys that coach sometimes, he's a trainer. So we just started working out. Well, he was already working out with him. Then I came in and started working out with him. So we've been working out together for probably the last 3 or 4 summers.
That's awesome. Love hearing about Patriots like sticking together. Even, you know, you guys are pretty far apart in your time. And he's a baller. He's still playing, right?
Right. He's playing in Italy. So he's doing well.
So it's obviously homecoming week. You know, just want to get your opinion. Those games they're always the most lit. Students are coming out. Fans who haven't been to games in a while are coming back into town. What did you make of kind of that homecoming week? You know, players coming back. Did you meet old players? Did you have any guys who are kind of your, like, mentors that you would chat with?
No, like, I met a lot of the former players, but I think they were still playing overseas when I was there. And then after they kind of faded out, I guess stopped playing or whatever. And then I was the guy that was playing overseas, you know, right. Coming in the summertime to play with the younger guys.
Well, as soon as your career is done, we got to get you back, coming to a couple games and get you back onto campus. It's changed so much probably since the last time you were there.
Oh, I come on campus during the summertime because I go and lift with the strength and conditioning coach twice a week, so I know what the campus look like.
Oh, really? What do you think? It's got to blow your mind.
Yeah, it's crazy. When they first started changing everything, I came back for the summertime and got lost on campus. I had no idea where to go.
I mean, it's got to be in part thanks to you.
Yeah, it's from the Final Four for sure.
Right.
No, I mean, before that, you literally would walk through like a trailer park to get to what the rack is today. You know, there are only so many food options. The kids now, they get like steak and lobster every night. Back in the day, like, we just had Chow Hall, make your own waffle and call it a night. So, I mean, it's just changed dramatically. I mean, the housing that these kids have and the food options and the, you know, the gyms that they have, it's unreal. And you know, I was talking to Brian about, you know, the new rack facility, the practice facility that these players have. You know, you guys used to, you know, play games, pick up games in President's Park. Like, you didn't have all that.
Yeah. When I was there, we played in the PE building. during the summertime, and it was about 150 degrees in there.
It was trash.
Yeah, it was bad, and I guess that's just what we had to go through to get where we wanted to go.
Yeah, I mean, there's something to be said for it building toughness too. I mean, you know, you guys are probably one of our most solid eras of all time, and we're just trying to get back to that moment, you know, to that success now. Do you pay attention to the team now, or when you come back for the summer, do you ever see the guys working out too?
I pay attention through like Instagram and things like that, social media. I haven't like watched any of the games because they come on at different times, and mm-hmm. I'm traveling, resting, doing what I have to do so I can continue my career. And I do see some of them during the summer. I played with a few of them in the Kenner League.
And where can people follow you on Instagram? I mean, you are kind of a quiet guy. You know, you're not too flashy. You're not all over social media, but for people to keep up with you, where can they follow you?
It's the common name.
And is that just on Instagram, or you have Twitter?
No, I don't have Twitter. I just have Instagram.
How do you keep up with news with no Twitter?
I don't know. ESPN. ESPN.com. I don't really know.
It's not worth following the news back in America anyway. So right. maybe you're not missing out.
It's a good time to dip.
All right. Well, Will, thank you so much again. I mean, you know, obviously that Final Four moment is going to be in all of our minds forever. The banner is hanging up in what's now called Eagle Bank Arena, although it's a bit wrinkly and someone needs to iron it out. It's still awesome to have hanging. And you're a big reason for that.
It was just something we just went out there and had fun, and we was able to win some games and bring some pride, some joy to the school, to the area, and everybody was behind us, and we loved it.
The final question, you know, and you kind of mentioned, but do you have any advice for the current players? You may or may not know like our current record right now, but you know, we're kind of in the thick of things. We're top four in our conference. Mm-hmm. We have a big game coming up. I know that you guys, while you were at Mason, you were able to, you know, you had a pretty impressive record every year. So any advice, you know, we're kind of going through a lull, you know, some wins and losses here of late, but, you know, I know that you just mentioned to keep it kind of fun and loose. Do you have any other advice?
Just got to keep on working. You're going to have them tough times. And as long as you, as long as the leaders, the seniors, keep everybody focused and in line and try to help the young guys get through this tough spot, they should be okay.
Awesome, Will. Thank you so much. I know you had to download Google Chrome and you know, make some, you know, go work arounds just to hop on our podcast, and we really appreciate it. If you haven't listened, do check it out. You can, you know, download it on iTunes at By George GMU specifically to hear your interview. And then always, as you do, keep following us on Instagram.
Okay.
We really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thank you, Will.
One more thing. This summer, we're trying to get a team into the TBT tournament.
Yes.
Yeah,
and we're putting everything together right now. We're doing it early, trying to organize and make sure we have the team together, because it's going to be me, Fowlerin, Mike Morrison, Ryan Pearson, Brian Allen, Ike Tate, Cam Long, and maybe a few other guys that didn't go to Mason, but just to help the team and try to help us win the tournament. And I guess in a few months, they have the voting where everybody goes out, the fans can vote the team into it. So we need everybody's support.
If there's any way that By George can, you know, help you out, just keep us in the loop. We'd love to even try to sponsor you guys if we can, or, you know,
support this. Yeah.
Help manage the team. I know Rams Nation, they host, they manage a team. So, you know, if there's anything that we can do to help you collect funding or whatever you may need, just shoot me a DM and I'll put you in contact with the right people.
Yeah, definitely. We I think that the team name may be Green Machine.
Okay.
Oh,
I'm liking it.
But we're not sure. If y'all have any suggestions,
this is huge. All right, yeah.
I mean, one suggestion we have is the Giant Killers. So
So that's the name of our website. It's giantkiller.co. We put out a bunch of video content, articles. That's where we host our podcast. So we love Giant Killers just because you guys were the Giant Killers.
Right.
And so if that can be a name, man, I'll definitely sponsor you guys myself and help you get some funding. So let me know if you choose Giant Killers, man. We'll help you with the graphics. We'll do everything we can.
Okay, yeah, but yeah, and the voting for it, I believe starts in like April. I don't know. I'll have to update you about that.
Yeah, just shoot me a DM on Instagram, and we'll put it out there on Twitter. I mean, we have a pretty good base. And we'll pop it off.
Yeah. And that first round should be in Richmond.
Oh wow. Well, you can,
yeah,
you
that
can,
close.
Yeah. Chris lives in Richmond. Yeah. So you can bank that we will cover it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Great.
I am so psyched. That was all right, well, I'm glad
we didn't end the interview without you, squeezing that in.
Yeah. I just wanted to get it out to everybody. Mason Nation.
We've been begging for it. You know, we've seen Mike Moe on a team, and we've seen Ryan Pearson on a different team, and it's like, man, can we get the Giant Killers together?
Yeah, so. this year we're going to try to do it.
All right, awesome, Will. Thanks again, man.
All right, thanks.
Man, we're so lucky that Will Thomas took time out of his day. Obviously a busy guy between being a father, playing professionally, traveling.
Can I interrupt you real quick? How about that, like, late breaking news at the end of the interview? Like, the fact that he and, like, a few other players are trying to form a team for the TBT tournament. It's, like, something that I've dreamt about for the last, like, 2 years. And he's trying to make it a reality. I'm applauding him and the coordination between him and the other players. It's something that would put Mason sort of back on the map. VCU has a team. A few other larger schools have teams. So it would definitely just kind of make or at least solidify our program, nationally speaking. So kudos to him, and I hope we can get it done.
Yeah, I mean, and did you hear him when I said, you know, you should name him Giant Killer, you know, Giant Killers? He was like, you know, he laughed. He's like, oh, yeah. I mean,
and then he was
sized.
Like, eh, maybe.
But, yeah, I mean, that would be super cool. You know, he said the first couple games would be in Richmond. One key thing to take away from that was, you know, it sounds like there's a voting process. And so Mason Nation needs to, you know, get out and
so
vote.
Hard.
You
yeah.
know, and it, you know, there's a lot of things that, like, you know, we say we're supportive, but the numbers don't necessarily show it. So
if I have to commit voter fraud to get this, you know, to happen, I will. So
yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Right.
I'm
about to hack the system.
we'll get David on that. But so, you know, a couple other things that, you know, I thought was awesome was, you know, we teased this a little bit, but he said that, you know, that one loss that he wishes he could have back was that VCU game.
I think it speaks volumes. I mean, the fact that the rivalry, you know, meant something to him, you know, beating VCU and how close we were to a repeat and how much that would, again, solidify the program getting back-to-back tournament appearances. I mean, we weren't the best team the following year, but we were obviously good enough to be a minute away from, you know, getting back to the tournament. So I think every Mason fan would almost point to that as probably one of the worst losses in program history. So
I mean, three tournament appearances in a row?
He was close.
Right.
But, you know, but he almost won that CAA tournament, and that was on a down year. You know, we just happened to upset a few teams in that CAA tournament, and we got to that final, and Eric Maynard just did it.
Yeah, and it sounds like, you know, his career's coming to an end, so a little bit sad, but on the positive side, he lives in the area. It mm-hmm. sounds like he's still a Patriot, so maybe we will see more of Will Thomas here in the future. Moving on, thanks again, Will, for coming on the show. We thoroughly appreciate it. Mm-hmm. But we got a big game coming up that we have got to win. As close to a must-win game as we got for the rest of the schedule.
Big game, Duquesne. it's definitely going to impact the standings. I mean, let's just take a look at it right now. Mason is a 4 seed at 9-4. Duquesne is currently the 5th seed at 8-5. So obviously a win would help distance ourselves from that, getting outside of that top four. We definitely don't want to have to play an extra game in Brooklyn. So a lot here, you know, in terms of impact, and with St. Louis kind of coming on strong as well, we just have to run with the big boys. We have to run with VCU, Davidson, and Dayton, and just kind of stay with the pack.
And we play St. Louis, we play Duquesne, we play VCU. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity is there to solidify a spot in the top four.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So looking, just doing some scouting.
I've watched Duquesne twice, and I've been thoroughly impressed with. You know, they have great size. You know, their point guard, Sincere, he's, you know, for a freshman, putting up some fantastic numbers. Very short shorts, but fantastic numbers. And then they just have shooters. I mean, they kind of reminded me a little bit of St. Bonaventure, who just recently like blew us out. So this Duquesne team isn't the same Duquesne team that looked like they were completely melting down when they lost half their team and they transferred out and they lost their coach like a few years ago. So this team's on the rebound and they could definitely win on Saturday. You know,
you're looking at four guys that score 10 points or more each game. Eric Williams, guard, Sincere Carey, a freshman guard who leads the team in assists, is already kind of running the show. Mm-hmm. You got Michael Hughes, their center, Marcus Weathers, and then your fourth or your fifth guy is averaging 9 points. I mean, they're starting
a solid five.
Their starting five definitely can pour it on. You know, it's not something that we can say for our starting five, but you know, it's going to come down to guard play this game. Yeah, they're big, they're athletic. It would be really nice to get Calixt back.
Yeah, health is going to be major, at least for our end. I don't know the status of a lot of our players, so you know, tune in. We'll update you on Twitter. But you know, we do need Calix back badly. You know, put a helmet on him. I don't know, but like we need him back ASAP.
And just to let our fans and our listeners know, you know, we're not getting informed of who's injured and who's going to be back. We find out with everybody else on game day. Yeah, sometimes we get notified 5 minutes before tip, but Dave Paulson, and rightfully so, keeps that really close to the chest. So, you know, that we've caught some flack in the past. Oh, the By George guy said he'd be healthy. It's like, no. We were told
that, you know, for instance, the, I believe you're alluding to the Hartwell incident. It was a minor knee contusion, something that I was told was so minor that, you know, even he was a game time decision for VCU and that he should have been good to go versus Richmond. So, you know, he didn't play, obviously, but, you know, you have setbacks. You never know what happens in the week. And yeah, if, for strategic purposes, Paulson shouldn't be telling everyone, hey, I'm going to have these guys sitting out next game. Like, you know, you want to keep your cards close to the chest. So,
yeah, and that makes perfect sense. And we are battling with a lot of injuries right now. Otis has got a little ankle sprain. Boyd's dealing with some leg issues. You got Calixt in concussion protocol. Hopefully his brain's okay. And then you got our boy Greenlight. He's got a swollen thumb. It's not broken, so I don't think there's any long-term effects there, but sometimes sprains can linger. I mean, that stuff is painful. So, mm-hmm. You know, we'll see. I think, you know, no one ever wants to blame injuries, but at this point, you start looking at our roster with Mar out and Grayer out.
Slew and then other guys, yeah.
Any of these guys miss time? I mean, Calixt has proven he is very important to this team.
Something must be in the water locally, because you know, when you look at the Redskins and now the Patriots, you know, Mason, it's just like
John Wall.
Everybody around us is getting injured. It's not
fun to be a fan of. But I think in this game specifically, it's going to come down to guard play. It's going to come down to Eric Williams and Sincere Carey versus Justin Kier and Otis. And if you're talking about those matchups, I like them. You're talking about two vets going against some younger guys. And I think that that's something that we can, you know, I think that's an advantage, Patriots. I think that's going to win us this game. I'm predicting it to be a low-scoring game, although we've been giving up a ton of points. I think our defense gets right with a week off and some attention to detail. I'm looking at like a 76-72 close game in front of a close to a sellout. And, you know, what do you think, Jonesy?
I'm thinking... Yeah, because it's going to be under the bright lights, you know, near sellout. I'm thinking low scoring as well. I'm thinking maybe something along the lines of 65-68 Mason. And yeah, it's, you know, Justin Kuijer leads the way, and Otis, you know, fills it up too. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to definitely be close. That's one thing. So.
So you can follow us on everything, all social media, at @ByGeorgeGMU. We have a promotional item we'll be giving away. So as we said in our first segment, we'll be throwing a tailgate. Jonesy, what are we giving away to fans that come say what's up?
We got a koozie for you. And so the little pun for this year is brew cane. You know, so
that's not bad.
Put in your koozie, brew in the brew cane koozie.
In the koozies, the design is a play on like a brewery. It's got some hops and some other things on it. So yeah, I tweeted out a picture, a little preview. So check that out. And last but not least, for the first time in By George history, we are providing a promotional code so you can get discount seats to the game. And most of you are probably thinking, wow, that doesn't sound good that they have to give discounts for games. But these are for your premier seats. So, you know, usually people buy the cheapest seats. But this is for that sexy seat as close as you can get. What are we giving you? We're giving you $7 off. All you got to do is DM us, DM us at ByGeorgeGMU on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Ask for the link, and the code is what, Jones?
I didn't get that email.
You bomb!
I forgot, what is it?
It's By George! Oh, how could you forget? You can't forget it. It's our name.
It was a joke.
Okay. By George. Type it in. Get your discount. First time ever. Jones, I'm so excited for you to make your trip up north.
Should be fun.
For your homecoming.
Yeah.
Again, see us out there at the tailgate. I hope you enjoyed the Will Thomas interview. And that should wrap up this episode of By George.
Let's get after it.